Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
John, I'm so excited about Cuba.
Yes.
And what's being prophesied over Cuba, right?
Pretty amazing to think that this country, who's had a dictator, Fidel Castro, for many years,
still does.
And over the 60s, right? His brother Raul has taken the leadership. And it's been a closed country to the West, to the United States. And yet to find out through this prophetic word that we'll be sharing with you by Rick Joyner, that revival is coming to Cuba.
And a lot of people might not know, too, that that you could not trade with Cuba. You couldn't go to Cuba until just a few hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, for 50 years, it was closed off. They're driving around in cars that are from the 50s.
From the 1950s. Buildings that have been constructed from back then. Very, very poor. And to know that people that were once held captive are not going to be set free, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch and to see.
Well, it is. And I think about this particular church, that the church there in Cuba, we'll be talking about it as well, how they thrived during that time.
Yes.
Which is amazing. It's like
under oppression with less money.
Will it take a dictator for the church to thrive again? I don't know. But listen to this prophetic word now from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, about Cuba. Maybe that's why the Lord these sanctions have been lifted. This would be 862 about this prophetic word by Rick Joyner about what is taking place in prophetically in Cuba.
But I had a dream about Cuba in 2009. And there was a revival in Cuba. Now, in this dream, I was in this very ultra-modern grocery store. And if you've been to Cuba lately, I don't think there is anything ultra-modern down there. I mean, the cars are still from the 50s. It's like they were caught in a time warp. And but anyway, in this dream, I was in this super-modern grocery store, and everything there was so nice and so modern. But what captured my attention more than anything else is everybody there was talking about the Lord, and that's all anybody wanted to talk about. They were so touched and so infatuated with God. Now, this was a pure revival. It's like you felt the purity, and you felt this is, you know, revivals normally come with all kinds of people trying to come and use them, manipulate them. You've got, you know, there's people that are trying to use them to build their own ministry. All kinds of people flock to revivals, some of the best and some of the worst. You've got, you know, you just have that there. It's usually pretty messy. It wasn't this way in Cuba. It's like everything was so nice, but God was still the passion of their heart. And now, he showed me a lot of things about Cuba since then. Showed me that this revival, it would touch the whole nation, transform the whole nation. It would also ignite, I think, what is going to be the greatest revival of the church age, which is going to break out in Russia. And I was also shown that. Back in the 1970s, actually, I was first shown about the coming revival in Russia. It would be the biggest of all time. Now, Cuba's was pure, but it wasn't that big. But a few of the things the Lord has shown me since about Cuba is it is going to become some of the most valuable property in the world is going to be in Cuba. And it is also going to be some of the safest property in the world. It's going to become a very safe nation. And I believe when this revival comes down there, God is going to have in place a leadership with the wisdom and the discernment to keep out businesses that should not be allowed in. Just corrupt leaders, corrupt types of business, all kinds of things. God has a jealousy for the purity of the whole nation. And I think we're going to have in Cuba an example of what the Great Commission really looks like if you disciple a nation. That's the Great Commission, to disciple nations, not just individuals. But if you could just think about that for a minute, just think about, you know, all the years they've been under communism, and all of a sudden it's like a fresh, clean slate to start all over on. And think about all that we've learned in our republic, and given those lessons to them, along with the mistakes. Look, this is where we got off track. This is where we didn't do right with this. We, you know, I think our core constitution is the greatest instrument of government ever given on the earth, with the exception of what was given through Moses. But suppose you can take all of that and give it to a country where here are all the good things, here are the traps you don't want to fall into. This is how we fell in. Just think of how we could disciple a nation, both spiritually, of course, but how about economically? How about in government? And that's what I believe is called the whole message of this life. And but it's coming. Now, I'm saying this because when the Iron Curtain came down, the body of Christ wasn't very ready for it. And we mobilized and mobilized fast, and a lot of great things were done, a lot of great movements. People just went over there and did everything. But I think we could have done much better had we been prepared beforehand, had all the materials in the different languages, and had the teachers ready and the pastors. And now, there were a few that were, but not many. And the cults were better prepared than the church in many ways. And they took advantage of a lot of criminals, criminal elements, the opportunists. And I don't think the Lord wants that to happen. I know he doesn't want that to happen to Cuba. He wants to keep out the opportunist. But he wants people to go, he wants people to be prepared to help disciple a nation. There are multitudes that are going to come to the Lord. They're... I think there's great economic potential in Cuba. There's all kinds of possibilities. It's a wonderful, beautiful place, absolutely phenomenal place. But he has a jealousy about it. The Lord is jealous for the purity of what happens in Cuba. And I'm just saying all that now because it looks like they're just slowly opening up a little bit. But I think there's going to be a point when things start to happen fast, and we need to be prepared.
This is so exciting when you see what's taking place. I think about when the Iron Curtain came down in Russia, what happened? Business and opportunity, and sad to say, a lot of negative opportunity just rushed in. Now imagine revival being in Cuba, God moving in a powerful way, and godly, you know, businesses coming in, just thriving. It's so exciting what God can do. When we get back, we're going to talk about how the church has been thriving under this dictator in Cuba. Cuba, who would have ever thought? And it's so beautiful, you know, how God is preparing to bless Cuba. And I really believe, John, it's because the church has been, you know, going after God during this time of oppression. And for 50 years, you know, that the church has thrived under Fidel Castro and this dictator leadership. Isn't that amazing?
Really amazing. You know, it really encouraged me when he said that he was in a super modern grocery store, because it reminded me when I lived in New Jersey, my neighbor's wife is from Cuba. And when her mother came to visit the United States, the things that she was going to bring back to Cuba to show of her trip were the newspaper clippings, the coupons of all the wonderful foods that we have in America.
We're so blessed.
We're so blessed. And to know that complete transformation, even to the business sector, is going to, you know, happen in Cuba. It's very encouraging.
Take a look at this. This is the Cuban church thriving behind these sanctions that was going on under this oppression. And it looks like prophetically, according to what the Lord revealed to Rick Joyner, that they're going to have revival. God has heard their cry. Take a look.
As relations between the United States and Cuba begin to thaw, a surprising spiritual reality is emerging. The Cuban church is thriving. As Mark Martin tells us, several denominations are reporting amazing growth.
In the midst of an oppressive regime and incredible poverty, the church in Cuba is exploding. In the past 20 years, Baptist churches have grown from several hundred to more than 7,000. Assemblies of God churches once numbered less than 100, and now more than 10,000 are proclaiming the gospel.
The church not only survived, but in the midst of those pressures and difficulties, it grew. It grew solid.
At the core of Cuba's church growth, house churches across the island. That's because back in the 1990s, the Cuban government told churches they could not build any new buildings. The effect? Church growth became very, very easy as Christians simply began meeting in homes. CBN News producer and Latin American expert Stan Jeter recently visited Cuba on a missions trip and explains the phenomenon.
Since they didn't have to focus on building a church or having a property, they were free to just go ahead and evangelize and start meeting in someone else's home.
Believe it or not, many also believe that Cuba's poverty has fueled its church growth. With many Cubans existing on less than $30 a month, there's simply not the money to pursue entertainment, hobbies, or other pursuits that would pull them from the gospel.
One church leader told me that is one of the reasons that church members spend so much time in church activities. They can spend more time evangelizing their neighbors because they're not distracted by a lot of material goods.
Church leaders say one fruit of all this growth is an emerging missions movement in Cuba. Hundreds of believers are considering or planning to head overseas as missionaries. And given their single-minded focus and long-term experience with hardship, they may be uniquely qualified to travel to new lands to spread the gospel. Mark Martin, CBN News.
Think about it, man. From 100 churches to 10,000 churches under this oppression, making $30 a month average in income. And notice that they did it outside of buildings, just regular homes. They were meeting in homes.
Amazing. God was enough.
They went from 100 to 10,000.
Amazing.
Yeah. Under a dictator like Fidel Castro. Think about that.
That's huge.
It's amazing when you're looking, you think, so there's nothing to worry about. It's just got to get rid of the distractions.
Yeah.
Maybe what's coming to America is the removal of all the distractions. I think about this. I think about, you know, in the business sector and working in business, you know, if you're working with in sales or that type of thing and you're trying to motivate a sales force, you find out that if they'll just get rid of the distractions, because they say they're busy,
yeah,
but the reality is they're busy watching TV, playing games, staring at the wall. I mean, they're not busy at all. I mean, how many people are riding their cars at a rapid, risking a ticket, you know, a huge ticket of speeding, only to go home and do nothing? And so when you're in sales, you actually have to convince people, if you'll just give up your distractions for about 3 years, you can be an independent, wealthy businessman. I mean, you have to convince them. Really, you do.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, if you're competing with entertainment, with people in the business sector, and it's like, you know, I want you to be successful. All you got to do is just shut off, you know, the entertainment aspect of that thing's going on. Stay informed, but just take that time and move that into productivity. Well, God did that with the church, it looks like. Well, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good, because they didn't have those things in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And they grew. The church grew. And now prophetically what we're hearing, what God has revealed for quite some time, that, you know, Rick has known about this, because they're moving Bibles down, as you heard, and they're moving, you know, substance down. And imagine owning some real estate. You couldn't own real estate prior to a couple of days ago. But what our president, President Barack Obama, opened up when he opened up negotiations with Cuba is that potentially, I guess, soon you can own land down there.
That's going to be a great opportunity. Yes. Not to mention about what Rick saw in terms of that this revival in Cuba would spark the greatest move of God. He said he saw the greatest revival in
Russia.
And that's encouraging.
Yes.
I mean, to know that these nations have been under so much oppression, so much dictator, you know, rule, that when they come unto this, the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm just excited to see what happens. Because this is it, total transformation,
right,
discipling the nations. This is a great opportunity with small Cuba,
right,
to see a total nation transformed.
Yeah, and she's made a big boast. I mean, Cuba over the years, you know, Bay of Pigs and all the things that have happened. And it looks like, at the darkest moment, when things get their darkest, and in the natural sense, they look the most hopeless, that's when God is about to break through. They say that right before the breaking of a day is the night's darkest moment. You know, working in shift work for years in law enforcement, you can just watch that dark night. But there comes a point where at the darkest point hits and all of a sudden light begins to come into that day. And you look at things going on, I mean, America's pretty well ripe for a major outpouring in our own country. I mean, you think about what took place, as we talked about in previous programs, you know, about revival in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, we took that move of God and kind of turned it into something else in the 80s, you know, about prosperity and these other things. But God was just moving powerfully in the Jesus movement. Just taking what looked like a hopeless situation, totally turning it around. And a lot of the pastors and leaders and missionaries you see today that are walking around potentially in a suit, you know, and just are on the front stage somewhere or on some broadcast, that they were on surfboards, you know, they were riding around in the first minivans, you know, the VW vans painted with flowers painted on the side of it, living communally, trying every chemical known to men to see if it would make their brain do weird things, you know.
This is the generation of Woodstock. So if you feel that this generation is hopeless, many thought that that generation was hopeless and a powerful move that God used them powerfully.
It's so not hopeless. If you're part of that generation, we're preparing for you.
That's right.
We believe Azusa Street 2.0 is on its way, and it's going to be your generation that's going to be used. And I believe there's people of the older generation that's ready to help you and mentor you and bring you into that place to prepare you for that. And one way we do that is through the VFN internship program that we have at the VFN TV studios. It's a limited amount of people that can actually be there, but I encourage you, if you're interested in it, contact us at 844-40-VFN-TV or go to VFNTV.com and let us know and say that you're interested in the VFN internship program at VFN TV studios. It's amazing what you can learn and be prepared. And you know how, if you're that age group, you're listening to me now, you know that media is how your generation communicates, whether it's social media, whether it's YouTube, whether it's, you know, just making your own movies and your iPhones and your Android phones. And God's about to use all that, just a whirlwind of testimonies and things that he's doing. And we want to teach you how to use these tools and have fun at doing it. There's nothing more exciting than to move within what you desire to do, and God has a plan for your life, a powerful plan for your life, and you're not necessarily called to this, you know, what previously generations have done. God's going to be doing a new thing. Over a billion souls, you know, are going to be won into the kingdom of God, and imagine what that's going to take. It's going to be a lot like what you saw in Cuba in regards to, it's just too big, it can't be contained in any particular building. It'll be in stadiums. So if you're interested in that, you know, I want you to be able to contact us at VFNTV.com and let us know the VFN internship. There's a limited amount of people that can do that, but you can find out the details by calling us or contacting us. And the phone number is 844-40-VFN-TV. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.